Bora Simmons.
Hello.
Hi, this is Bora Simmons.
Hi, Bora.
Hi there. Hi there, Scott.
I don't know how many will be here today.
Yeah. It's a busy
week for you.
Oh, not bad. Not bad at all. It's kind of one of our classic Northwest days.
I literally just came back from Tucson yesterday evening.
Ah.
So. But it was funny. It was actually kind of gray there, which is very unusual.
Yeah, really.
April, yeah. And it's gray here in Seattle.
Yeah, exactly.
It's summer.
Yeah. We would
sounds like Chris, is it?
Yes, it's Chris.
Oh, hi there. It's Scott here and Bora.
Hey, Scott. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Bora, do you know Chris Comer?
I don't think so.
You have?
I don't think so either, no. Somehow we've missed each other.
Yes. You know, all these little voices on the phone.
Well, we'll see each other in July.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's right.
That's right. We're all
which
going to
just
the
just a skip
camp.
Away.
Yeah. It is. It is. Kind of scary.
That's gonna happen. I don't know about you, too, but I just filled in the form asking when we're going to be here. So I think you two probably both got them.
Yeah. No, I haven't gotten anything. No.
Okay. It maybe it's something that those of us, you know, the resource collectors have already got it, but I think you're included in that list, so you should get a little something from Ann Gold.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because
yeah.
I've talked to Mark about being there, so.
Yeah.
And it's on my calendar.
Good. Yeah, it's just really which nights we're going to be there, so.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, just some setup of all of that stuff, like food, you know, it's so basic.
Yeah, exactly, all of the, we have to get this organized.
That's right, exactly. So, I think Mark is joining us today.
That's what I thought. I thought he would
be. Yeah, Mark was going to facilitate.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what, Scott? It's getting longer and longer to get into the call. You call in, and it gives you the little spiel, and then it says, okay, and you can dial all these numbers. Okay, and now dial this number.
Okay, I just want to start saying that, you know, the whatever about, you know, enter your PIN. I just start entering it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't listen to all the other crap. Yeah.
Put
I don't have the patience for all the rest of the, and then dial four if you want to, you know, stand on your head.
Yeah. It's so sad. Oh, somebody else.
Louise Huffman.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Louise.
Hey.
So it's Scott Carley here, and Chris, who just chimed in there, and Bora Simmons is also here, I think. Anyone else?
Brian Rogan from ESIP.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Hi, I came in just as you were talking, so. I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh, we're just babbling away.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just waiting for a few minutes and trying to get coordinated here. Mark, as I said before, I think Mark was going to jump in, but I would give a couple more minutes, but I have 4 minutes after 10, so
yeah.
At least on the East Coast or on the West Coast. So, and if not, we'll just chat for a few more minutes.
Did you see the news this morning on the latest on the volcano and the ash that has fallen in Iceland? They say that it's gotten so compact it's almost like cement, and how they'll get it off of the surfaces of the farmland. They really don't know how they're going to do that. I thought it was fascinating.
So when it's fallen on farmland in Iceland. And
yes.
The mixture of water and, you know, basically limestone, it's a good form,
yeah.
form of cement and calcium carbonate. Wow. That's unbelievable.
Linda Herrer.
Oh, hi, Linda. Scott,
hello.
We're just talking about cement falling in Iceland.
Oh, dear.
Just because of the volcanic ash and the water from the glaciers, I guess.
That, sure.
It created quite a mixture.
What a mess.
Unbelievable, and just how it's really disrupted international travel.
Mm. Yeah, they said it was $1 billion at this point that has been wasted.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's messed me up. We're having a climate summit for adults on Friday and for students on Saturday, and one of our speakers is stuck in Greenland, so we've lost one of our scientists.
Oh, wow.
Far-reaching.
Well, and that's interesting. I've been assuming that the winds have been, moving, it would be east, I guess. But Greenland has also been affected by this?
Mainly because the people that are in Greenland are trying to get back to Europe, and there aren't any flights going that direction. And
okay,
the plane,
they have one
large plane for Greenland, and it's in Copenhagen.
So okay, yeah, that's the reason.
Yeah.
Yep, it's not coming from this end. So has anyone else joined us?
I just joined. My name is Kristen Barkas, and I'm at the Center for Remote Sensing of Ice Sheets. I'm the education coordinator here. This is my first time joining the conference call. Tamara Leslie was on the review panel at our site visit with NSF last week, and that's how found out about you.
Ah, great. Welcome.
Thank you.
I just joined. It's Laura Faye Tenenbaum calling.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
I'm also a new person. Oh, sorry.
Oh, welcome to the newcomer.
Yeah.
This is Doug Cohen in New Jersey calling in.
And I'm
Hey,
Heather
Doug,
Young, Oregon Public Broadcaster.
We had two over each other. Who was from Oregon Public Broadcasting?
That's me.
And your, would you pardon?
What did you ask? Sorry.
I know I missed your name. I'm sorry.
Heather Young.
Here. Okay, great. Well, welcome too.
Poor Mark. He must be caught somewhere.
Yeah. Well, let's do what he would probably do. And
that's right.
We just usually spend a few minutes at the beginning of calls, just seeing. If anyone has any news, anything that they're working on that they want to share with us, or I don't know about some of you, there's certainly a couple of proposals that are now due, or at least letters of intent due by the end of this week, so there may be some other conversation around that. And that usually spins us off into something else that we can talk about for a couple of minutes today. So does anyone want to start?
I would love to. This is Louise. Can I start?
Absolutely.
I'm Louise Huffman. I'm the Education Outreach Coordinator for ANDRIL, and we have a NOAA grant, an environmental literacy grant, to put on climate summits for students. And so since January, we've been doing workshops for teachers at three sites, Anchorage, Alaska, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Chicago, Illinois. And now Saturday is the big culminating student summit. So the students have been learning about climate change, and then they're all doing research projects, and they're coming together at the three sites, and we're connecting them in a video conference to talk about climate change across latitudes and cultures. And we have we have scientists at all the sites and a grandfather from one of the northern villages that's being affected by permafrost melt, who's going to be in Anchorage, and he's going to talk to all of the kids about the climate change that he's seen. So just really excited. It's been a lot of work, and I'll be real happy when Sunday gets here, but I think Saturday's going to be a great day.
Is that going to be recorded or even available sort of as a webcast?
Our videographer from who's at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln and our science management office is coming in, and she is going to video it, and then we'll be putting that video on the website. We also are individually interviewing some of the kids at the Chicago site and getting their ideas on climate change, so that'll be a separate little podcast that we're going to do. So, yeah, it should be available in the next month or so.
Great, but we'll make sure we put a link on the Climate Literacy website to that. That would be great. I'm sure, Doug, you're excited about that, too.
You're a mind reader.
I am. I know you're interested as soon as you hear kids interviewing.
Yeah, so for those that are new, this is Douglas Cohen with the Climate Literacy Network and an advisor to TURC in their design of the clean pathways and the regional implementations of clean. So I've been in this story for a couple of years with Scott and some others, Mark and Tamara as well. So I represent the youth initiative of the U.S. NGO for the UN Decade of Education for Sustainable Development. So I have that national director role that led me to the Climate Literacy Network when we presented at NCSC. We have a new implementation of the Inspired Futures campaign that is foundation funded in a municipality now, Morristown, New Jersey. And as we go forward and look at New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania being a region for clean, although that's down the road still, we have a community engagement with partners that are going to have a big Earth Day launch this week and Festival Earth in May. So we're mobilizing youth as leaders of a climate literate future, and have great partnerships going on in New Jersey about that. And from what Scott just mentioned, I just received the videos. We're doing a youth climate education media team, and I just received the footage of our ESIP interviews from last quarter. And we're going to be developing some video vignettes where students have interviewed scientists about current scientific matters and how to frame communication to the community, to the public. So there's been some announcements about that before, and a lot of good progress on that. And my contact information, dacohen77@gmail. That's my news.
Very good.
Great.
So I'm curious whether there's folks who've just joining us who maybe want to say a little bit about what their background is and their interest in all of that. I know there were a couple of people who joined us today for the first time. So if someone is venturesome enough to talk a little bit about why they were interested in joining this network, that would be great, so we can all get to know each other a little bit.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Kristen Barkas again. I'm with CRESIS, which is the Center for Remote Sensing of Ice Sheets, and we're a science and technology center, one of the about 20 NSF-funded STCs. And basically, I don't know if probably at least some of you are familiar with CRESIS. I know I heard Louise Huffman from Andrel. I know that they've worked with you. I'm relatively new to CRESIS myself. I came on here at the end of August, and actually, my background, my doctorate is in molecular biology, so I'm kind of, or molecular biosciences, I'm kind of a little bit of a fish out of water, but education is what drew me here, so I have a teaching background and a science background, and so I'm definitely, what drew me to the network, like I mentioned, Tamara Ledley was on our review panel for our site visit with NSF, and I was aware of the climate literacy campaign and the climate literacy I guess, but I hadn't really found my way to you yet. We're kind of, as everyone is, a little understaffed, I guess, and so I'm just finding my way there, but that's, so we're very, CRESIS is very, very interested in climate literacy, and we're trying to connect ourselves a little bit better. We have a pretty active K-12, well, it's really not K-12. We describe it as K-12 outreach, but in reality, we really do a real good job with grades about 4 to 8 and maybe even 3 to 7, and then we don't do a whole lot with high school or much with younger kids either, and that was one of the things that I'll just admit we got dinged on was that we didn't, that we're not doing enough with high school students. So I'm anxious to learn all I can about what some of the other centers and groups are doing.
Chris, I wonder whether you could talk a little bit about some of the educational stuff that's there. It's just sort of in the back of my mind because a number of us who are on this call are involved in this Clean Pathway project where we're starting to identify really exceptional learning activities associated with climate change and energy awareness. So
Definitely.
That's sort of a big part of what the a number of people who've been part of this network are working on. So, yeah, if you've got resources, we're looking for them.
We do, actually. Good. Well, it's funny because I'm writing, what I was working on today is rewriting sort of the education evaluation, uh-huh. evaluation of our education program, a plan for that. And our mission actually isn't as much for the K-12 as it is for undergrad and graduate, sort of getting ready to be the next generation of scientists. Personally, I'm very interested in that, and we have a very active K-12 coordinator. Some of you may know her. Her name is Sherry Hamilton. And she'll be at the Oslo conference, and she's traveled with Polar Trek. She's been with CRESUS for about 3 years. But in terms of our actual activities and our resources, Sherry, along with some graduate students over the past 2 to 3 years, has developed a set of activities called, we call them Ice Baby activities. Ice Baby. And they're on our website, which is www.CRESUS.com. That's CRESIS.KU.EDU. And I should say that CRESUS is a partner of several schools and other international and some industry partners, but we are based, essentially, headquartered at KU. So there's the reason.
Kansas,
University of Kansas, correct.
Yeah.
And so, the activities are... there are 24 of them, and they target all different kinds of basic principles of water and polar science. And the nice thing about the activities is that they're and this is what I talked with Tamara about, is that they're very individual. They're very, each one is a standalone.
Great. This is certainly something that we've been trying to identify as activities that are standalone. So that people can mix and match, and they don't, sort of stuck with having a certain sequence that may not work for them in their particular classroom situations.
Well, we do have a match to national standards, and also Kansas State standards, and they're really, I mean, I can't take any credit for it because I just started here in August, but the way we've presented them on the website is actually a lot more user-friendly than it was when I started, but basically they're organized by overarching categories. Mm-hmm. But each activity has a time that it takes, the prep time, exactly how to prep for it, steps, and then on that same sheet are the standards it's matched to, and we just finally, I don't know why we didn't have this before, but we finally added a feedback form for the teachers to use it, which would be a sort of a duh, why weren't we doing that kind of a thing, but we did add
that. Don't have that. Having looked at a lot of resources, there's very few places where it even says who actually wrote this thing, never mind opportunity to put comments back at them.
Right.
Well,
so see what
works. This is great.
Yeah. Well, it's
nice. Great to hear about some new work that some of us are not familiar with.
Well, I definitely plan to be a routine caller, so I won't.
What we may do, if this is fine, is we would love to call on you to do a more formal sort of presentation. Not so formal, but if there's slides and sort of give us an indication of some of the materials there. I know Laura did come for us, I guess it was last week, if I missed it. And,
it's semi-formal because you can dress down when you get
That's right. You can dress down because that's the beauty of telecom.
Nice. Yes. Exactly. Yeah, I think I can do that for sure.
That would be great. I'll just...
Maybe next month, but I would love to do that.
Okay, that would be great because it's just super for us to hear what people are doing, and it always just, charges things up.
Well, I can do some slides, and I can also... I have some slides, obviously, from just doing the site visit, but... I could also guide you through the website and those activities. And I'd love to get your feedback on that, too. So, I'd be happy to do that.
Oh, that would be great.
Did you give the website earlier in this call? Did you give it?
I did. I can give that again. www.CRESIS, that's spelled C as in cat, R-E-S-I-S, .ku.edu.
Thank you.
Sure, and the name of our center again is kind of a mouthful. It's Center for remote sensing of ice sheets. So we have engineers and scientists, we have climate modelers, and we also have engineers that develop the radars that they fly on mostly aerial platforms, airplanes, and other things like that. But they fly and collect. Essentially, what they're looking for is ice thickness to quantify and model mass balance of ice sheets.
Great.
And you guys have a very cool DVD too, don't you?
We do. We have a very cool DVD, and actually, a cool thing about the DVD even is that we're in the process of translating it into Spanish, and that will be ready in June. And so, actually, right now we have Zippo of the CDs, or DVDs. Pardon me. I can print them in house, but we're going to do a mass printing in June when they're bilingual, and so then I can send those out to people.
Kristen, this is Louise. I just wanted to say that we're also looking at how to reach high school students, so I'd love the chance to get together and talk with you sometime when you have a call. But I feel a real affinity to Croesus because I was down there two different times, and we do some work with you guys, so would love to get
that. Your name has come up. I look forward to meeting you sometime soon. I know that, and actually, Frank Rack had called about the COSI that I know you guys are working on, and we just got too busy with site visit to be able to participate in that, unfortunately. But, I knew that you had been down here, and I've heard your name many times in meetings.
Well, I hope it's good.
It's all good, all good.
Can I speak up? It's Linda Herrer from WGBH. I work in part with the NOVA series, and they have a program called Secrets Beneath the Ice that will be airing sometime. I would have to check on the date, but it focuses on some of the Andrill work. And we also have another film that's called Beating the Heat that is supposed to be on in April of 2011. So
wow.
Another, that's a NOVA show. So also, some folks at WGBH in the outreach and education are working on a notice of intent for Friday's deadline at NSF regarding green jobs and helping people who are not headed to a four-year college figure out what the possibilities are with green jobs and training programs, sort of greening the building and construction industries and using materials to help people see where the possibilities are in terms of career outcomes, and also helping the building and construction industries to see how this may be a benefit to their own work as they bring green elements into their practice. So we would welcome ideas from anyone.
I have a question about that. You said that's a TV show, or where? What is
no,
that?
No, sorry, it's an outreach and okay. Education effort that may be mounted from WGBH if it gets funded through NSF.
And so would it be like
would have
a
profiles?
Video or?
There would be profiles of people who are working in such jobs. And we're still working out what it will be, but that's the hope.
Oh, okay. How it looks like in the industry.
Exactly. It's a very early stage.
Because I teach a class at community college in the CTE department on green jobs.
Oh, that's great. Who's this speaking,
yeah,
please?
It's Laura Tenenbaum. I have two jobs.
Right.
I work
right.
at JPL.
Yes.
And
yes,
and that's my other personality. Is,
I attended your workshop.
Yeah,
that was terrific. Yeah,
that's
on
so
the NASA website.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting that we're, you know, crossing in these two different paths. But
exactly,
I guess they're related. Yeah, so I'm interested in that for sure.
Wonderful.
So I know Mark has joined us, and I'm wondering whether there's others who have joined us in the last almost 25 minutes that haven't introduced themselves. A couple beats.
Yeah, I got hung up in a fire drill and apologize. It seems like we've reached a point where we're self-organized enough to
yep.
wing it if need be.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Scott. And
Yeah, not a problem, because I actually thought I was going to end up facilitating, and then I just called yesterday that you'd agreed to, so it's fine. Good. So, Mark, do you have anything you want to let folks know about? You usually have some news.
Well, we're just working away. We've got a workshop here in Boulder in June the 10th through the 16th, and we've got teachers coming in from all over the country. It's our NASA-funded Inspiring Climate Education Excellence workshop that we'll be videotaping and turning into an online self-directed course, as well as further down the line a facilitated course for credit that teachers could take online through continuing education. But one of the goals of the online self-directed course, which we hope to have up late summer, early fall, would be that GLOBE teachers and others that are participating in the GLOBE student climate research campaign could take the course to make sure that they feel comfortable with the climate science content. So the workshop will really be, it'll be using the climate essential principles, climate literacy principles, as the framework, and try to unpack some of those concepts and identify some of the best learning activities that we've been coming across. So it's somewhat in parallel to our Climate Literacy Energy Awareness Network efforts, which are more focused on identifying the very best digital resources out there that relate to specific parts of the climate literacy framework. And we'll actually be using the CRESIS DVD as part of our workshop in June, and all the participants will get a copy of the DVD, and we'll, you know, kind of talk them through how they might be able to use that in their classrooms. So that's the big thing right now.
Mark, is that part of the Cozy West collaboration?
No, that's a different one.
That's
we also,
not Leslie, I can't remember Leslie's last name. This is really from your group, then.
Yeah, we also, another one of our colleagues here, Leslie Smith, is working with Cozy West. Cozy is the Center for Ocean Science Education Excellence, and we've been working with the folks at University of Southern California in particular to connect oceans and climate, because here in Boulder we're a long way from the ocean, but we do a lot of climate research that relates to the oceans. And so this will be the third year that we have this focus on oceans and climate.
Mm-hmm. Mark, isn't there a workshop also in June for the...
Yeah, that's the end of June, and I think they've got...
Okay, I was thinking it had been moved up, and what you were talking about was actually that workshop, so I'm glad to hear that there is actually two separate workshops here.
There are two separate workshops that have some overlap, since they're both focused on climate and use the essential principles as sort of a guideline. But I can, if anybody's interested, I could point people to some of the online materials from last year's workshop. Because we after a workshop, we always try to capture the key elements and put them up on the web so that people that didn't attend the workshop can benefit from the various activities and materials that were put together for the workshop.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I have a whole bunch of announcements if no one else, or if it's my turn now. It's Laura Tenenbaum.
Go for it, Laura.
All right. So I'll just start out small, I suppose. So I'm announcing about the NASA's climate website. It's climate.nasa.gov, no W's or anything. We created a whole bunch of stuff for Earth Day. Some of the things are live now, and some will be going live today and tomorrow. Right now there's the Earth Day Challenge. It's a quiz about global temperature, a fun quiz. But there's also a slideshow. It's just the elements of Earth from space. It's supposed to be, you know, moving and touching that you like the planet so you don't want to mess it up. And then there's a movie also that's coming. So look for that this week on the website. And I just thought it was funny. Right now, one of the features is called Ice Ice Baby, and someone had mentioned that that was a title. So I guess that's the cool title to have. And then the other announcement, I guess it was maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, I had asked for everybody who wanted to send me information about their professional development workshops, and I'm just creating a page that will go on our site to list all in order of appearance the professional development. So if, for those new people on the call, if you want to send that, maybe I'll just send that same email out again asking for the basically a logo, two or three sentences, and a link. And then the last really big news, dun-ta-da-ta, is our website, which is climate.nasa.gov, was nominated for a Webby in the science category. So that's really exciting, and hopefully we'll win. So I'm going to send, there's two ways to win the Webby. One, you can be, we're against, here I'll tell you, we are against Scientific American. And I can't remember the list of others who are part. I think it's like BBC. Anyway, we're under the science category. But you can win by...
out there, too.
Yeah, I know. You can win. I know. It's really exciting. So you can win. Oh, here it is. We're up against the BBC, Mind Lab, National Academy of Science, and Scientific American for the best science site, our website. Global Climate Change is the title of the website. So you can win by being voted on by the committee, but you can also win what's called the People's Voice Award. So right now I'm going to send. I just pushed send, and it's going to go to all the climate Literacy Network listserv. Basically, if you're interested in voting for us on the People's Voice, then you can go ahead, and it gives you this you have to go onto the website and then register, and then the website sends you an email, and then you go back in and vote. So if you'd like to vote for our website, for we could win Best Science Website, that would be fantastic.
I love it. Great.
So we're very excited.
Yes.
And this is
now, Laura, are all the features now up that you've talked about in the last couple of weeks? You said there were a number of things that were going to be added to the website.
Oh, yeah. And if you go, thank you for reminding me. If you go to the, under Cool Stuff, the Eyes on the Earth 3D, and load that, there's a brand new data version. So, in fact, it went live last week. Our conversation ended at 11 Pacific time. It went live at about 5 minutes after 11. So there's just so much more data that's available. Every data set has a drop-down menu. So for four or five of the satellites, you will have drop-down menus with data that's current. So you'll be able to look at sea level height in the last month, or you'll be able to look at air surface temperature, you know, in the last number of days, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide within days. So
this is going to be really helpful for folks developing, sort of wanting to have updated curriculum and activities. So those data sets are going to be much more readily available than they've maybe ever been.
Absolutely. And anybody who needs their handheld or who even wants their handheld to be walked through the site, I'm available. So everybody's got my information and my phone number. If you're creating learning modules or any kind of educational stuff and you kind of have any questions or you want assistance with the site, I'm here for you. So just contact me.
So, Laura, actually, I mentioned that this workshop coming up in June, and if you are you planning to have like a canned tutorial maybe, or you're offering, I know, to hold our hand in real time, so to speak, but it might be interesting to just have a little video up there that on the site that helps introduce people to the different elements and or we could do both. But,
well, I was thinking we've been batting all kinds of ideas around here, but one of the ideas was similar to like any of the Mac stuff, we were thinking of just doing like really short 60-second, you know, if you want to, you know, compare sea level heights, this is what to do. If you want to, I mean, it's just really short, but, you know, that's one of the ideas being batted around, some teacher guides and teacher how-tos that are kind of very specific and very short because everybody has ADD now. So they need to be short and to the point, as you probably know.
I was going to, this is Kristen at Crisis. I was going to say, in terms of, well, two things. We have a workshop. Uh-oh, there's my phone. Sorry, I don't know how to make that stop.
Not too bad.
Okay, all right. Well, it stopped on its own. Anyway, we are actually, well, two things. One, Crisis is, the center is, was established by NSF, but we have a lot of partnership with NASA as well, and Operation IceBridge, for example, we're heavily involved in that. And our radars fly on, are flying on the DC-8 and the T-3 now. But in terms of workshop, we actually are, one of our partners is Penn State, and we're having our teacher development workshop at Penn State, and we're partnering pretty much 50-50 with Pennsylvania Space Grant. Mm-hmm. And our workshop is in, it's July 19th to the 23rd. I'll send you the information, but
yeah, just send me like a little logo and a, and two sentences and the link, and I'll and I make that's what I'm going to do. The minute Earth Day is over and everything's live on the website for Earth Day, I'm moving on to create this just a pretty vanilla page that's going to list all the PDs. So I mean, it's good that it's listed in lots of different places, the PDs, so people should be able to you know, to have it everywhere, you know, on every different site.
Well, I wanted to compliment you on your website. I'm actually in the process of voting for you right now because actually...
Oh, yay!
As our teacher subcommittee has been meeting, we found... and I actually, at AGU also, I met up with some people that had your... that were providing information about the Climate Kids site. And
okay. Maybe I met you at AGU. I was there.
I don't know. So, but we're gonna utilize it heavily in our teacher workshop in July.
Well, please contact me if you need any, you know, if you get, because people sometimes, actually, this is a question for Mark. Last week I did a whole, it was supposed to be 20 minutes and then it turned into an hour of just, you know, step-by-step walking people through, click on this, go here, and I recorded it, but I wasn't able to have the recording, so Mark, if you know anything about the whereabouts of the recording, and then I can mix the audio and the video together and then produce a little movie to share, huh?
We do have the video.
Yeah, Scott, you've got access to the video, right?
Yeah.
And then Sarah Hill at Turk will have access to the audio. So,
if you guys could get me those things, I can cut it together and produce the audio and the video together, and then I'll send it out so that everybody can have access to it.
That was my memory when we set this up, that you said that you would be able to sync the two together. And
I can sync the two together, yeah.
Yeah, that was my memory, too, and I hadn't gotten back to you because I've been on vacation. So.
Oh.
Good. Cool. Okay, well, we'll have that.
Hey, Scott, since you've got the video, can you get in touch with Sarah Hill at Turk?
I'll coordinate with Sarah so that we can send both things at the same time. And,
but, you know, likewise, we're going to feature this site at our workshop in June, and we just talked about having time for the teachers to give us their ideas on how they could use this in the classroom. So we plan to capture that those ideas, and we'd like to share them with you, certainly, if not the wider community, because I think we all agree it's a treasure trove of potential engagement in the classroom and great learning, I think we can all help you out to come up with really effective ideas.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, and go on the website in the next day or two and, you know, make sure everybody sees the slideshow and the video for Earth Day, just because, you know, they're good. They're profound. You'll be moved. That was the point, because Earth Day is kind of sentimental.
Mm-hmm. So anyone else? Any news? Mark, was there anything that you wanted to bring up for us today?
No, I think we've invited a colleague of mine, Marta Kern, who's here in the Boulder area. She has a program called Eco Arts Connections, and she'll be giving a presentation in an upcoming call about the networking that she's been doing, working with scientists and artists to try to help bring an emotional or creative, affective dimension to climate literacy and so forth. And she's a consummate networker and has been working with people at National Science Foundation, National Institute of Health, but also the National Endowment for the Arts and a lot of artist communities. So I'd look forward to having her give us all a bit of an overview, because she's doing some really interesting and exciting work of kind of integrating the arts and sciences.
That's great. That reminds me that next week, Elaine Andrews and Noah Feinstein, I think that's the name's right, from the University of Wisconsin, are going to be doing a presentation in this time period, so on the 27th. And they're going to talk about some of their sort of experience teaching climate change within, their system. So, and they've got quite a bit of experience with that. So that should be a very interesting presentation for us all. So that's Elaine Andrews and Noah Feinstein from next week. And there's stuff on the website. I'm not sure if people have had a chance to look at that, but if you look at cleannet.org/CLN, there's actually a listing of sort of what we're doing in each of the telecons. So we try to keep that up to date. And put notes in there, and you know, any of the URLs that are mentioned, try to remember them and put them up there. So hopefully people can keep tracking that too. So if there's nothing else, I think we can wrap things up.
I just want to ask one
question. Yeah, please jump in.
Kristen again, and at Crisis, and I'm not sure. I'm trying to. I'm new this time. I'll get to know you guys as we talk each week. But I had said I would do a presentation of our ICE baby activities. Who's in charge of? Is Tamara in charge of sort of the agenda or the schedule? Or is there somebody else that I should follow up with on that to decide what week I might be able to do that?
I think Tamara's our real contact person for this.
Okay.
But we, as Mark sort of suggested, there's a little bit of self-organizing that goes on.
Yeah, well, I see that, but it seems to work, so that's great.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But I think Tamara's usually the one that's doing a little bit of the scheduling, and then we just simply put it up on our website and then send messages to the listserv associated with the Climate Literacy Network.
Okay, so you're saying when you say the website, you mean the Climate Literacy Network website specifically?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
cleannet.org/CLN is the website now. It used to be climateliteracynow.org, and we've been switching things over to this other place. So we've actually created a bit of a new website. A little bit easier for us to change.
I'll have to look at that and see. I'm sure I'll have questions for you, because I'm trying to figure out how all these things are connected. I looked at Turk. You know, I know that used to be called, that stands for something that's now not necessarily...
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
It used to be Technical Education Resource Center, I think that's what it was, but that's from the 40s or so. It's been around for a while.
Can you give me that web address just one more time?
Yeah, for everyone. It's cleannet, so it's C-L-E-A-N-E-T. You can do double N's if you want, but it doesn't matter. It's just cleannet.org. Then /CLN for Climate Literacy Network, with CLN.
CLN, got it. Okay, great.
And that should work, I hope. If it doesn't, let me know.
It does. Okay, great.
Okay,
thank
good.
You.
Excellent. Any other questions, comments, whatever? If not, we'll listen to each other, I hope, next week with Elaine and Noah on climate education at the University of Wisconsin.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.